The Seder.
Let's switch on the sound, yeah?
Yeah,
really good to go.
Whoa, where are we holding? The two tafkidim, the two tafkidim of a Jew. The tafkid of building the world outside and the tafkid of building the world inside. If you think about it, it's night and day, no? Day is where you work and you build, and night is when you're alone with Hashem. Today we don't know what that means, we don't have night. Technology fights very hard against the way the world was created. It was created with day and night. That's what night is. That's what night is. But that's another subject. That's Yaakov there on the mountain when he doesn't mire on the Mokom. But that's not our subject. Then we spoke about the two tafkidim in the moshel of marriage. The kashas from Nefesh HaChayim bothering more and more. Tzarichim Godel, for sure. I thought about it again afterwards. It's a Lord Lopashim. You see exactly what that means. The Ike is the doing. The Ike is the performance. But Chazal tell us the Ike is the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim before the performance. You have to understand. I don't know. Come on. I can see a fascinating sugya developing. I don't know. Shkach for the Ha'orot. Okay. And as we said, Klal Yisrael is a marshal with their relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu to a marriage. The Shir HaShirim we called Rayosi. Boir Olam Yesh Shtei Amad Nun Tes at the bottom of the page. Boir Olam Yesh Shtei Tainus Alein. Kodesh Baruch Hu has two tainus against us. The first one, the Pnimi. Ein lekeshe shel ave ve simcha ein chem chashim keshe pnim mevoev ein lechem gai ve yosi dodet chem ve uvde atem atzuvim lo smeichim beze she'at terem yos. You're not happy that you are my chosen spouse, my beloved. Why aren't you happy? Atem lo michasim ala, you don't relate to me. Ani lo manyen otchem rachmano letzlam. Just to be chlau. Lo vanoizel tam go lo makayim nesmitzes a teirah. Hashem has put a few kindness against us on both these levels. What's the first thing Hashem wants us to fix up? First of all, you have to fix up the inner reality. Like Rav Moshe said, it's not enough to do good. You have to be good. You have to start by being good before you do good. But you have to do good as well, and that's also where our opinion is how you become good. But there has to be a nukuda, an inner nukuda of building oneself, building a personality. The first thing we have to do is develop an understanding of simcha in the way that we do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers a happy, good Jew who's proud and recognizes the wealth that he has in his Jewishness. And somebody who's keeping all the diktuk halach and keeping all the mitzvahs. He's angry and he's miserable and whatever in his avodas Hashem. Is the reason why we're still in galus. You'll tell me Chazal say differently, and no, but the Chumash says that's what the pasuk says. Chas v'chalila, you have to do the mitzvahs. It says tachas shelo avodat es Hashem. The simcha v'tuv leivo. You have to serve Hashem, of course. We'll see that we saw. I don't know if we'll see it, but that's by tzushan by Hashem. By tzushan, there was an enormous avos Hashem. The Baldita Avos Hashem, very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the voice of the just destroyed? What were the three Shivas on Gilas around it? Why not? Because the Ava with Hashem was so great. Because Hashem loves us anyway. What was by Shani? They corrected the first problem. They kept all the mitzvahs. My doctor can every mitzvah that's off of the sinner's kingdom. Where does sinner's kingdom come from? You don't have a relationship with Hashem. If you have a relationship with Hashem, you could never speak Lashon Hara. Impossible. You could never speak Lashon Hara if your relationship with Hashem is intact. That's why Lashon Hara is so dangerous. You could speak Lashon Hara about someone you love. Yeah, but I'm seeing that sinus chinam. I was in the parsha of sinus chinam. That's not so posh, by the way. You could love Hashem and be very close to Hashem. Ain't tzadik ba'aretz sheyoseh oseh tov v'lo yechtov. There's no one that never sinned. Never yetzer hara who is. That's another parsha. That's the sugya of the yetzer hara. But I'm talking about tachshir v'aretz Hashem v'simcha v'tuv leivot. You're not simcha v'tuv leivot. You don't love Hashem. Then it's easy. There were some bochrim in Torah v'das ulai. I don't know what they were learning. And they were working on Shmira Saloshim. This is some of Musa lesson. And but it wasn't going so easy, as you know. You take on Kabbalah and you take on Klassim and you all sorts of work to avoid Sinas Chidim, not so possible. So you're a powerful an Eitzer. How do we work on the Shmira Saloshim? So he said to them, have you ever thought about working on Avos Yisrael? You don't work on Loshon Hara. You work on Avos Yisrael. You don't talk Loshon Hara about someone you love, someone you care about, someone's important to you. You're confused. Confused look on your face. Sorry. I don't mind hard or easy. I want right and wrong. Hard and easy isn't coming to my question. Show me where that's written and we'll look into it. We'll see where that's written. We'll look at the Rashi. We'll look at the places. Eloshi is not to take on something that's not too hard. It's not to take on more than you're capable of. Taking something small that you know that you'll do. That might be very hard. As I said, hard and easy is not, that's not the chesh. Anyway. That's the vote. Claim a shavuidish yudi enu samech biyadusoy. The question, the reality that Jews not happy with his Jewishness. For God kivyoch b'kodesh b'ochi yosem ashekim ikum hamitzvos atzmo. More than not keeping the mitzvahs. You're keeping the mitzvahs, but you're not besimcha b'tuv leivo. It's a terrible, terrible stirah. And we all feel that stirah. We all know what it means.
Someone is not happy. At the end, you will not keep the mitzvot because someone don't like what he's doing. He stop to do mitzvot.
Perhaps that's more logical. Yeah. But in the meantime, he's keeping them miserable. And even if he will keep on doing them, but no one will follow him, he's going to have a hard time passing on his heritage. Because why would I do something that makes me miserable? So keeping mitzvot makes you miserable, Dad. Why should I then take on the mitzvah? Not going to have an easy time passing it on. But you're right. We're driven by pleasure. We've said that many times here. What drives us at every decision we make is the pleasure principle. Adam eindu nivra ella li saneg. You were put in this world to have pleasure. No other reason. And therefore, when there's no pleasure in what I'm doing, a person is going to eventually find something that appears to be more pleasurable. That's how the Yetzer Hara works. He offers you something that on the surface looks much more pleasurable than Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is so pleasurable, I wouldn't give it up for anything. Why would I?
Hashem gives us things that aren't so pleasurable. You know, if we create the task to derive pleasure from the world, there's so much that's thrown our way that's far from pleasurable. It might be good, but it's not pleasurable.
That's the pleasure. The pleasure is that I know where I'm going and I know that this is taking me closer to my goal, even though it might be painful. What's the opposite of pain? No, that's the problem. You just hit the nail on the head. He said pleasure. I say the opposite of pain is no pain. Comfort.
No, that's the middle ground.
Slowly, let me finish. I said the opposite of pain is no pain, is comfort. The opposite of pain is not pleasure. Pain is the price you pay to get the pleasure. I'll give you a very crude, simple, down-to-earth marshal. You ever play a computer game in your life, in your pre-incarnation? Space Invaders, remember? Whatever.
Yeah.
And you get to level 1, and then you get to level 2, and then you and your buddies are fighting, and you're trying to get to level 3, and whatever. What would you do if I came to you and I gave you the code? The Lord is usually type in this code and then all the invading angels die. You'd play that game? No. You're paying money to have frustration, to have pain. Why? Because of the pleasure you get when you overcome it. The greatest pleasure you can give yourself and anybody else you care about is difficult challenges to overcome. That's what Hashem gives us. Difficult challenges to overcome. That's where the sikkut is. You break your head over a toisus for 3 weeks and suddenly you click and you see pshat. There's no greater pleasure than that. There's no greater pleasure in the world than that. Why? It's the same kibiyokul with a math problem. Any difficulty, any problem, you've got a problem at work and you can't, and eventually, you worked hard for something, there's a sikkut, there's a pleasure. And it was painful. If you take a Martian and let him peek through the keyhole in a gym, gymnasiums, yeah? And he sees this guy there struggling and battling and cringing or whatever, he would think there's someone standing just out of sight of the keyhole with a machine gun. If you would explain to this Martian, the guy's paying good money for that torture. He's paying good hard bucks to be in that gym. You'd think you're nuts. Because we normally think that's the secret of life. No pain, no gain. The next world is where you have the pleasure without the pain. There is no pain. There you have the achievement, the being. But the going, the movement, we're in Eretz. Eretz is from Ratz. We're going towards somewhere. There's pain. Yaakov Avinu was not the Simcha. It is 22 years with whatever. He couldn't prophesy, whatever, because he was a grace of whatever, but Kosh Baruch Hu wasn't happy about it. Do you know that you have to be the Simcha on Tisha B'Av? On Tisha B'Av, when you're sitting on the floor mourning, there has to be a Nekud of Simcha. Because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. The Shenichnas Av, Mamaitim B'Simcha, doesn't say destroy Simcha, don't have any Simcha. It says reduce your levels of Simcha. You have to be the Simcha, not as much as you're on Purim. On Purim, you have to marvim the Simcha. I don't really have to be marvim the Simcha, but not go overboard. Marvim more, and Av a little bit less. But there still has to be a core of Simcha. Without Simcha, you've lost everything. You've lost your connection. I'll tell it to an extreme term, the most extreme terms I ever heard, but the way it was described was just. Only Rabbi Vindamala could say such a thing. Rabbi Vindamala had a grandson, Shuli Zatzal, who was Rahmanu Tzlal, killed in a car crash on his bar mitzvah, on his way from or to the Kaisa. They'd come from America for the bar mitzvah, and they were on the way to the Kaisa. The Kaisa was killed in a fight on his bar mitzvah. Rabbi Vindamala was very close to this particular grandson, very close to him. And obviously, he found out about it, he knew about it. And there was the matzah. There was a sign up in the base midrash. It was sure, you know, they put up a sign, the notice for the availables or whatever. When he came down to give his service that archie, he tore down the notice. He put it away because he didn't want to upset anybody in the room. He got up and gave the shiur. Most people in the room didn't know about it yet. It was still too fresh. But there were a couple of his close family that knew about it, and they thought that he didn't know about it. Because he didn't know about it, because how could he know about it if that's how he's functioning? He was functioning normal. And there was no sign, so nobody knew. So they thought he hadn't been told yet. But they hadn't told him because they didn't want to. Afterwards, they found out that he actually did know. And one of the family was like, how did you do that? He went to me and said, how did you do that? You knew. How did you get up there on Thursday night and give your share like you do every week? Nobody knew. No one knew anything was wrong. And you knew how close Rabbi Vindamala was to his grandson. So Miller said like this. He said, you're right. I'm an oval. And I'm in a lot of pain. I was very close to my grandson. But even when you're sitting shiva, you're still collecting rent. If I would be miserable and downtrodden, I'd be denying all the hakaras atoiv that I have to Kodesh Baruch Hu for everything else he's doing for me. When you sit in shiva, can you see? Can you hear? Are your kidneys functioning? Is your liver functioning? Is your heart beating? Are you breathing? There's a lot to say thank you to a Kodesh Baruch Hu for. Yes, I'm mourning. Yes, I'm in pain. But not at the extent that I deny all the good that's been done for me. when you're sitting Shiva, you're still collecting rent. The person has to know how to balance it. You can have a ma'azen. He said that, he did that. I'm just giving over what he said. But that's the vote. There can be pain. There can be terrible, terrible pain. But somebody who knows why he's in this world, the Chazanish says it's even more starting. The Chazanish says it unbelievably starting. The Chazanish says somebody who understands the truth, the light of truth, as a loshen, could never ever be sad. Someone who understands the truth of life or the light of truth, exactly the loshen, the text brings us many times, will never ever be sad. The cousin Ish knew what was going on in the world, I assume. The cousin Ish lost his family, never had children. The cousin Ish knew what suffering was. And if he can write about himself, never ever felt sad. He understood what reality is, why we are. Those are levels, we fall from those levels. I'm just trying to give you the picture. Hashem says, Tachashu, not to say b'simcha, but to blame. It means, yeah, even when you're in pain, you have to serve Hashem b'simcha. There's times you have to mind b'simcha, there's times a person has to cry. There's a lochot, the first day, the first 3 days, the first week, shleishim, the year, yud beis chodesh. After the first year of avodah, it's also to be said, also to mourn. Also. 12 months, yeah, 12 months. After that, the neshama is in the best possible place for it. And we're happy that the neshama is where it's supposed to be. Ah, we're missing the person. We're sad, we're upset. Also, to be sabo after the first year. Torah knows we're human. And Torah knows we need time to mourn. But only so much. Because ultimately, our kolotavah, it's all going where it's supposed to go. All for the good. And that's our struggle. We're not holding there. But we know that's the goal. So we keep measuring and testing when we're having nisayonos. How am I holding in terms of animamin ben munashlein shabbos bachma hu boi romani glakola bruim? If that's true, it can only be good because he can't do anything that's not good. Ein oed mil vado. It's only Hashem and it's all him. That's our benchmark. That's what we're trying to get to. And that's the test. How much closer am I to that? And as you get to a certain level and you consolidate it, you internalize it, Hashem comes to the next level. And he squeezes you to the next level. And so on and so on. That's the seed of the sugya. Okay. Yep.
In essence, you say, a person's made this onek on Hashem or this anek comes as well. What it's really saying is saying that we're made to overcome challenge.
Adam la'amul yulot. The person was created to toil. The man, okay. The pay. We came in this world to earn olam haba, not to get it for free. Yo.
You want to say something? Oh.
Kima mitzvahs ein matarosa shirut leboira oilom. Kima mitzvahs, what we call a boiris Hashem, doesn't mean you serving Hashem. He doesn't need your service. He's quite capable of managing without your help. Eleika machavan hu haleib hamoinach meachora kima mitzvahs. Now, we have to be careful because leib has to be translated properly. The big mistake here, and it leads people down the garden path. When a person, when we talk about shirut, we talk about a voida, we talk about a voida shebaleim. Hamunach mechora kima mitzvahs. Hasimcha, nedivas aleim, gilu, hacheshek, varotzen, the mitzvahs, hu ikah mitzvah. What's lurking, you have to do the mitzvah. If you don't have all these things, you still have to do the mitzvah. If you don't feel it, so you don't do it, that's not Torah. You do it if you don't feel it. The ikah is the mitzvah. The doing, the cue. But there's no question. And we're talking about a generation that needs a lot of chizuk. In previous generations, this wasn't so important. People had an intrinsic sense of Jewish pride, that intrinsic sense of simcha v'tuv levo. They weren't challenged by the world that they're telling them how defuk and how lacking, how lowly they are because they don't have my product. People were satisfied with life because life didn't offer that much in the physical world. So they were satisfied with what they had. There was some math for chelkei because the chelik was very small and they couldn't do much about changing the chelik, so they were happy with it. Today, we're never happy with a chelik because there's always more and more and more and more. There's mono right to the side. We have a big hole in our heart and we think if we had mono, then the hole would go away. So we get mono and then what happens? The hole doesn't go away. So well, 100 didn't work, so I have to buy 200. Now you get 200. And for a little while, it feels good, but then it goes away. So well, the 200 didn't work, I now need 400. And it just goes on and on and on, perpetuating itself. We have untold infinite amounts of monas and mosaics and our barmots that just go on and on forever. They come out with a new phone every 3 months. What was the wrong with the one they made 3 months? No, you need a new one because it's got this knack. And everybody's standing in line in the snow for 2 days to get it. I wish I was exaggerating. I wish I was exaggerating, but that's the world we live in. And the cars, that's a clunker. The new models, have you looked at them? There's not that much different from the old one. Yeah, but this one's got a cigarette light in the boot. Oh, I have to get a new one. Get a new one. For sure, because then you can charge your phone while you're standing outside. That's the bra. I always wondered why you have to have a cigarette light in the boot. Now I know why. Fine. I met a person in New York. He told me, I couldn't believe it. I nearly fell off the chair. He was so excited. He just got a new thing for his phone that he could, that was waterproof, so he could work in the shower. Yeah, you don't have to waste time showering. You can work in the shower because it's waterproof. The world is dragging us and sucking us much more than previous generations. We said that we're in a new world with a new Yetzirah. What's going to fight that? What's going to deal with it? If there's no simcha, if there's no lev, if there's no inner investments in what we're doing, no one will pay the price. No one will pay the price. If you don't feel the tava chatanu mikolam, if you don't feel the special privilege of being able to serve Hashem, who would do it? You know what you're saying? It is to be a kid today, to be a teenager today is gehenna, Rabbi. You know what you're saying? It is for these kids. My grandfather never had that problem. What was his choice? Come home, spend time with the family before you're going to sleep, or go to the pub and get beaten up by the Polish peasants. What was your? But before the Haskalah, the whole upheaval that came between the two world wars, pre-First World War, what was your dream? You got a university, you knew you couldn't go. So what's the problem? So you eked out a living, you served Hashem, you were happy with your lot. Today we don't have that. So therefore we have to build something against that. That's the Leib hamunayach miachora kibbutz, the mind, the understanding. Leib doesn't mean the heart. Leib doesn't mean you just feel good. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the chayvus halavavos, machshavus haleib, the cheshek, the rotzon, understanding of the privilege we have to be oiv da Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu b'chaya. We all know that all the limbs of the body get sucked off, to get dragged off to the lave and the eyes. The heart is everything. But it doesn't mean this. No, never means just a ball of flesh that pumping blood into the body. I'll explain to you what the definition of leiv means, whatever you said in the Torah. Unless you're learning chulin, then maybe leiv means the pump. Leiv never means the pump. Leiv means that part of the brain that impacts on the emotions. Never means the leiv. You can't have machshavas and leiv. When was the last time you had a machshavas and leiv? If the leiv means this. I'll tell you what leiv really means. The Nefesh HaChaim's definition of leiv means that which is central. Why do we use the word leiv to describe this thing if it's not the leiv? If the leiv is not the leiv, then why do we use the word leiv? Torah doesn't play with words. The Nefesh HaChaim says leiv is that which is central. The Kodesh HaKadoshim. What was unique about the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It was at the center. There can only be one thing at the center. Leiv is that thing which is central to your life. It's the deeper meaning of Leiv. That's why it drives me, because it's the center. It's really what Leiv is. But at the working level, at our level, Leiv means machshavas haleiv, the mind, the thoughts of the mind, but that are going to impact on the emotions. Some people might call that cognitive behavior. So you think something and therefore you feel it. Your emotions are governed by your thoughts. You go to a simcha, you go to a wedding, you're very happy. Why? Because you just feel happy. No, because you've processed what a simcha that is. You're thinking the right thought when you're a chasana. I'm here to miss a chasana of the color, therefore I have to do what I need to do. You go straight from there to a levaya. So you still be simcha? No, because now you've switched your thoughts and now you're feeling the correct emotion you're supposed to be feeling at a levaya. How do you control your emotions? Well, wherever you are, you just get bounced around. You've got a simcha, so hey, you're simcha because there's not music. And you get a levaya, it's terribly sad because you see someone. No, that's not an evidence. Yeah. We design the emotions we need for the event. And we feel what we're supposed to feel fully. That's the avoider. How do you do that? By thinking the right thoughts. And you know that you can do this. Because everybody's tried this at least once in their lives. Everyone's tried what I'm about to say at least once in their lives. You got angry with someone. Something happened, you got angry. Then you come afterwards and you think what happened through. And you realize that you got angry because you were thinking thoughts that generated that anger. And if you change that thought, you'll be done the kafschus, or you read the situation differently, the anger goes away. No? Don't know what I'm talking about? You came home after you asked your wife or the maid, whoever it is that makes you suffer, to please have supper on time early, whatever, because you have to, whatever. And you come home and the supper's not ready. So you get angry. Why? Because what did you think? How could she? I don't understand. I asked you, what do you mean? You don't care about me, you don't think about me, so you get angry. But later on, you reflect and you say, no, maybe she had a headache, maybe she's getting sick, maybe she forgot, whatever, something came up, and the baby was ill, and she had to go to the doctor. Yeah, and then what happens to the anger? The anger goes away. How does it go away? Because you changed your thoughts. Our thoughts are what happens just before the feelings. So by changing your thoughts, you change your feelings. That's my Shabbat alone. Okay, to be continued.
In the Mishkan, that was the Chacham Lev who did the Mishkan.
Why in the Mishkan? Because the Mishkan was the center, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the center, which is parallel to the Lev. From there you see that the Lev, the definition of Lev is that which is central.